Familiar story for all of us tonight from the second chapter of Matthew's Gospel. Read the first 12 verses. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem, Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him." When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. And they said to him, "In Bethlehem, Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.' And Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, 'Go and search diligently for the young child. And when you have found him, bring back word to me that I may come and worship him also.' When they heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. When they come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, fell down and worshipped him. And when they opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And being warned by God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way." This is the word of God for the people of God. And thanks be to God. Well, you already know it, but today is the first Sunday in Advent. And these 4 weeks before Christmas Day, and it's only 4 weeks from today, the Christians should be looking at the Scriptures with deep prayer that the true wonder of what God has done in giving us His Son should break fresh upon us. We should be seeking to grasp the truth of Christmas rather than being caught up in a secular holiday. I want us to consider three truths tonight. First, there is no Christmas without Christ. Holidays, yes. Fun, festivities, yes. Feasting, yes. But no Christmas without Christ. Second, you cannot experience Christmas secondhand. Nobody can experience it for you. It has to be your experience. And third, when you have experienced it, you want to share it with others. But first, there can be no Christmas for you if you do not have Christ in your life. I went out to pick up the newspaper Thursday morning. I almost needed help to pick it up to bring it in. And about 95% of it was advertisements, assuring everybody that took time to look at them, and I didn't look at any of them, but assuring everybody that looked at them, if you just come into their stores on Black Friday, you could have the best Christmas that you've ever had. Somebody said they saved $2,000 by buying a television set. I saved more than that because I didn't buy it. You know. But we get the idea that the more we spend, the more we're going to save, which is foolishness. But all the advertisements in the stores are so persistent that you come in and buy their merchandise so that you might have a great Christmas. And so you buy things which you don't need with money that you don't have and paying the debt off for months to come. But we can buy all that the stores have to offer and try to show those that we love that we do love them. But you cannot have Christmas without Christ. And the grocery stores, you know, it must have been a month ago at Star Market, they put up a sign out front that they were accepting orders for your holiday turkeys and hams. And they give you the impression, you know, if you'll just come in and get all of this food and fix all of these things to eat and eat more than you need and become fatter than you already are, while millions of people are starving to death, that you're going to have a great Christmas. But I don't care how good a table you have set before you, if you don't have Christ in your lives, you won't have Christmas. Sure, you can have a holiday. You can't overspend, overeat, overdrink. You can't give expensive presents to people that neither want nor need them. I don't think I'm unique in this position, but I checked this afternoon late. From last Christmas, on a box up on the shelf, there's 7 pairs of socks I've never taken the tags off of. In that same box, there are 2 brand new shirts that I've never taken out of the box. Hanging in the closet are 2 other shirts that still have the price tags on them that were given to me at Christmas a year ago or 2 years ago. I don't know. And in the drawer, there's a dress shirt that's still in the bag that came. We have so much stuff that we give more stuff to people that don't need any stuff, thinking we can buy Christmas. But you can have all the world in the name of holidays has to offer. But you cannot have Christmas if you do not have Christ in your life. The second thing, we cannot experience Christmas secondhand. In Matthew's account of the birth of Jesus, we read of Herod's instruction to the wise men. He told them to go and search diligently for the young child, and when you have found me, bring me word that I too may come and worship him. Paul Reese lifted up 3 things about this I want to look at briefly. First is that nobody can find Christ for someone else. This was Herod's error. He thought he could have someone else find Christ for him. The fact that he had murder in his heart is beside the point. Even if his motives had been pure, his error would not have been any less. Nobody can find Christ for someone else. But many people today are still guilty of Herod's mistake. They're trying to find salvation, or perhaps find meaning in their life, or find Christ in their lives by delegation, by letting someone else do it for them. It would be amusing if it wasn't so sad and tragic, the number of people that have talked to me across the years about how great a faith their parents had. And they seemed to think that because their parents were great Christians, because their parents had accepted Jesus as their Savior, and they had high praise and told me how great they were and what a sweet saint their mom was, they knew Jesus, and they think because their parents knew the Christ, they have also come to know Him. But regardless of the faith of parents, they could not find for their children, and their faith cannot save their children. No one can find Christ for someone else. But I've known men, you know, that sort of thought that their wives' faith was going to save them. Their wife had found Jesus. She's active in the church. She's involved. And it's wonderful, but no wife can find Jesus for her husband. She may point the way. She may live such a life and set such an example that they come to want to find Jesus, but nobody can find Jesus for someone else. And a lot of other people seem to think that they can turn the whole matter of their relationship to Jesus and their salvation over to the church. Henry Drummond once related a conversation he had with a visiting professor. This professor said, "I used to be concerned about religion, but religion is a great subject, and I was busy, and there was a little time to settle it for myself, so I became a Catholic, and instead of dabbling any longer in religion myself, I just left the church to do everything for me. Once a year, I go to Mass." Sounds like some Methodists, I don't know. They show up on Easter Sunday, and the rest of the year they're not there. But no post-Vatican II new life in Christ Catholic would accept any such view of salvation by delegation, for it just doesn't work. But great numbers of Protestants and Catholics as well are hoping that because they belong to the church, somehow that's all they need. Let me say it again so you can't misunderstand it. Nobody can find Christ for anybody else. But this is also true. Anybody, anybody can find Christ for themselves. When Herod said to the wise men, "When you have found him, bring me word," he was far more right than he knew, for he in effect suggested that Christ and Christmas can be found. Anyone can find Christ for himself. The wise men followed the star and came to the place where the child was and went in and worshipped him, and they found him when they were willing to leave home and family and friends and all else to search for him. How crazy they must have seemed to their family and friends. They'd studied and sought for truth, and now they leave all to seek a new king, following a star, looking for a baby. But when they saw the Christ child and counted their search more important than anything else, they found him. Anyone can find Christ. The shepherds watch over their flocks by night, and they were scared half to death. The angels came announcing the birth of Jesus, and they were so afraid. I like that statement. They were simple, uneducated, poor men. But when they heard the message of the angels and left their flocks and went to seek the Christ child, they found him. Anyone can find Christ when they seek him. Remember one day some Greeks came to Philip, said, "Sir, we would see Jesus." These men were likely among the intelligentsia of their days, the educated of society. They had to humble themselves to come to these Jews and seek a wandering preacher. But when they sought him, they found him. Anyone can find Jesus. Anyone can have Christmas. It may not be easy to find him. The wise men searched perhaps as long as 3 years. We don't know how long they've been on the road. But they searched until they found. The shepherds had to leave their flocks. The Greeks had to go against their natural feelings of race and rank and superiority and humble themselves, but they all found Christ. Long ago, God said through the prophet Jeremiah, "You will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart." You'll seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. And it's still true today. Anybody can find Christ and Christmas. It still may not be easy. You may have to cut through all the maze of things that have grown up around Christmas. You may have to go against the tide. You may have to turn from some traditional ideas surrounding this day. But when you search for Christ with all your heart, you will find him. He's still present saying, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest." Well, first, nobody can find Christ for anybody else. Anybody can find Christ for themselves. And this finally, everyone who finds Christ wants to share the good news with others so they can find him too. The shepherds came to the stable and found the baby Jesus in the manger. They made known the saying which had been told them concerning this child. They finally returned to their sheep, glorifying and praising God. But it appears at first they had to tell everyone the good news about the Savior being born. The wise men, for a very special reason, were instructed by God not to go back to Herod and tell of their discovery of the Christ child. But their experience is not typical. Much more typical experience is that of the shepherds in wanting to tell the story. When Andrew found Jesus, you know Andrew? He's only mentioned about once, if that many times, in the Scriptures, apart from his brother Peter. And we forget, when Andrew found Jesus, the first thing he did was to go and find his brother Simon and bring him to Jesus. It was Andrew who brought Peter to Jesus. The first thing he did was go and find his brother and bring him to Jesus. When Philip found Jesus, the first thing he did was to go find Nathanael and say, "We have found him of which Moses and the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." And Nathanael is cynical. He said, "Can any good thing come out of Nazareth?" And Philip didn't argue with him. He just said, "Come and see. Come and see." When the Samaritan woman found Jesus at Jacob's well, she ran back into her town crying, "Come see a man which told me all that I ever did. Is not this the Christ?" It's one of the most legitimate proofs, I think, of a person's conversion. When they come to faith in Christ, they want to tell somebody else. They want to tell somebody else. I remember well a young girl that was in church years ago. About 15, 16 years old, she came to faith in Christ. And one of the first things she wanted was for someone to talk to her friend. Now, she needed to talk to herself, but she asked me to go talk to a friend. She wanted that person to experience the saving grace of Christ that she had experienced. A number of years ago, a bishop was visiting the mission field in Bolivia. And he was carried to a village where 6 years before, the people had never even heard of Jesus. Missionaries went to that village and shared the gospel. And all the people came to faith in Christ. The bishop asked him to tell what had happened, and they told him. And then he asked of their dreams. What are your dreams now? What do you long for now? They said, "Well, we have three small dreams and one big dream. Our first small dream is for a well of water. Right now, we're having to carry our water about 6 miles. Can you imagine walking 6 miles to get a bucket of water? First thing, a small dream, we'd like to have a well. Second thing, we'd like to have a nurse to provide some medical help and preventative medicine for our families. And third, we'd like to have a teacher. A teacher that could come and teach us to read and write, for none of our people, young or old, know how to read or write. We'd like to have a well. We'd like to have a nurse. We'd like to have a teacher." These are small dreams. But our one big dream is to cross the mountains and share the good news of Jesus Christ with the next village. More than anything, they wanted to share with others. When you find Jesus in Christmas, you want to tell others. You want to tell others. While it's true that there's no Christmas without Christ, and no one can find Christ for someone else, anybody can find Christ, and when they do, they want to share him with others, that they too might find him. Well, I pray in this Advent time and as Christmas approaches, you'll have a fresh awakening in your heart and life, a fresh vision of what God has done in sending his Son into this world. And you'll know Christmas firsthand in more meaningful ways than you ever had before. And you'll want to share that good news with others. Father, we do thank you again for all you've done for us. But in this Advent time, we especially thank you for Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you. May we all find him afresh and anew and alive in our lives. And go forth to share the good news with others. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.